You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today on this Friday. Thank God it's Friday, huh? Heading into the weekend. I invite you guys to church this weekend where you'll get to hear my associate pastor, Darren Solana. Now, Pastor Darren is an outstanding preacher. He'll be bringing the word here this weekend. He wouldn't even tell me what he's preaching on. I'll be in the house. Me and my wife are in the Keys right now, but we'll be back for this weekend. And I can't wait to sit under the authority of the word of God and let the word of God transform me into a better person, because that's what he does. So I'm really excited about that. Sunday morning at 10:30, you guys are invited. Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. We meet at 10:30 on Sunday. This coming Wednesday, I'll be back again on Wednesday nights in the book of Titus. Three chapters of Titus. We'll be in chapter 2 this coming Wednesday. But let's focus on Sunday. We would love to see you in God's house this Sunday. Here on the radio now, and this will wrap up on Monday, is the next sermon in this series through the book of Hebrews. We're up to chapter 11. This one is the Hall of Faith. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's where we're going to be. That's where we're going to be momentarily. Hope everyone has a blessed weekend. God bless you and your family. Hopefully we'll see you in the house here Sunday morning. Listen for Pastor Darren's sermon on the radio here coming up next week. And you'll also hear my sermon from Acts also next week, and that was the conversion of Saul. We'll get to that as well. So I thank you for joining us here. No greater thing for us to do than sit under the authority of the Word of God, and that the power to change should be present for all of us. Have a wonderful weekend. Let's get into the Word now.
Not only in sports, but in music as well, there is a level of greatness that gets a person recognized by their peers. In sports and music, it's referred to as the Hall of Fame. Now, in today's sermon, we learn that Almighty God has His very own Hall of Fame as well, but He refers to it as the Hall of Faith. At least that's what we refer to it as. God measures greatness according to faith. Let's pray before we even get started anymore. Lord God Almighty, we exalt You here this morning. Thank You for another awesome day in Your house. Thank You for the invite. We take You up on it. We come here to worship You, Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Speak to us through Your word. We listen for Your voice. Show us perhaps what one thing or two that we might lack today. May the power to change be present here today. May the power to change by Your Holy Spirit be present so that we can get back in step with You if that's what's needed. Speak to 55 different people here, 55 different things. Everyone on the radio, those watching on the YouTube, those watching on Facebook. God bless our family and our extended family. Speak to us about faith now, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God measures greatness according to faith. You know, I love to read in the New Testament how that great displays of faith just moved the Lord Jesus Christ to no end. And He made the comment, marveling, He said, "I have not found such great faith," He says. Matthew 8:10, Luke 7:9. faith made him marvel, and also a lack of faith made him marvel as well. He marveled when he expected people to have faith and they didn't have it, and he marveled when those that he did expect to have it didn't have it. He marveled when he saw Gentiles with great faith. We're about to see in today's sermon that faith moves God. And anytime we start a service and you don't hear any music from me back there, you guys know that you're in for it today. Oh, it's only, I got you guys for the next 52 minutes. Any objections? Everyone all right with that? Ron, you're all right? Faith moves God. God responds to your great displays of faith, and he will condemn you for your lack of it. That's the subject here for today's sermon. We left a lot of meat on the bone in chapter 10. We'll get to that some other day, should the Lord tarry. Now let's go to chapter 11 this morning. It'll start with the greatest definition of faith you'll ever read, ever. Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, I've got most, if not all, of these verses on the handout if you don't have a Bible. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11, rapid fire from other translations, starting with the King James Version. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. New American Standard, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. NIV, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for, the assurance about what we do not see. Then they add this in verse 2. This is what the ancients were commended for, and that would be their faith. Passionately trusting in someone in whom you cannot see pleases God to no end. And entrusting your soul with this invisible being whom you've never seen, that just moves God to no end when you trust him like that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hupostasis is the Greek word. Stasis means to stand. Hupo means under. Like hupomone means abide under. Hupostasis would be stand under. That is my belief that God is who he says that he is. It's the ground of confidence in which we stand. This is the underlying character trait for the believer in Jesus Christ. To get one's name in the hall of faith, it's not just for Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and Joe DiMaggio. It's for you. Every one of you that'll believe God at his word. Faith is the hypostasis of what I hope for. That is, that God is who he reveals himself to be, and that this God, my God, will do what he says, and he will do that he will as revealed in his word. Do you believe God like that? Hypostasis looks like this, Psalm 56, 9. When I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know because God is for me. That is why there's some weight on that. It's substance. That's what I believe. When I call out to you, then it's a classic case of when and then. When I call out to you, then these little demonic fools are going to scatter. This I know because God's on my side. Do you believe God like that? Back again from the top. Now, faith is the hypostasis of things hoped for. The evidence, there's the word elekkes, that means to convict like a criminal. Not only that, not merely the charge, but the manifestation of the truth of the evidence of the one that's convicted. But here, he says, the evidence of which is not seen. You can't see the evidence. The evidence, the conviction, that is, all of the stuff against you, it's there, but you just can't see it. The evidence of which is not seen. You cannot see any evidence of this faith of yours. Because once you see something, you don't need faith in it any longer to believe it. Because now that you see it, once you see it, it's too late. It's the same with Jesus Christ. Once you see him, it's too late. I'm telling you. Once you see Jesus, it's too late. That's why you got to believe in him and receive him today when you cannot see him. Because once you see him, faith is no longer required anymore. You got to have faith today in whom you cannot see, in the one in which you cannot see. Look, it's your faith that moves God. Jesus told one woman, he said in Mark 5:34, your faith has made you well. Jesus told two blind men, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. In Matthew 17:20, the Lord said they were unable to cast demons out of people because their faith was too small. The ability to move mountains in your life is a direct result of your faith. Jesus made this comment to Peter after Peter marveled at the fig tree that the Lord had cursed had shriveled up. Mark 11:20, it's funny. I wrote it down before you said it, so you can't say I copied you in Sunday school. Though then again, he wrote it down probably a month ago and preparing. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. What a response that was. He's causing you to take this inward here. This is not something that only he can do, then you can't. He's turned this whole thing around to you. Look at this tree over here. It's dead. What does he say? Oh, only I can do that. Don't even know. He turns this around and he says to you, have faith in God, that nothing is impossible for you. Now, I know a lot of charismatics have ruined this text, you see, but the truth is the same. And that is great faith moves God. Great faith moves God. So he says, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says that this mountain be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, let's move on here. The important thing here to understand, again, is that great faith is what got these Bible characters we're about to see in God's hall of faith. Back again from the top. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hypostasis. The evidence, elegkos, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders, presbyteros, here we go again. That's Presbyterians in the Bible. By it the elders obtained a good testimony. The Greek word for witness and testimony is the same word. By it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand, this is verse 3, by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So you understand this, or you receive this, he says, by faith. I believe God, and according to my faith, Almighty God did all this. We receive that by faith we understand it. When we understand and believe in Almighty God, we understand nothing is too difficult for him. Nothing is too difficult for you, great and mighty God. By faith, we understand that. Look around. The heavens declare the glory of God. By faith, we understand that. Or you could say, look at all that Jesus has done for you in your life. By faith, you understand it. If he can change you, he can do anything. You have two choices here. And your choice reveals who you are and who you're not. Number one, you can stand with the Discovery Channel and with all of the world's brain trust that you, friend, are a cosmic hiccup, an accident, that this universe had too much linguine one day and one afternoon it burped into existence your Uncle Harry, the slime ball. Or if you got cats, the fuzz ball, fur ball. Or by faith, you can choose to believe that intelligent design created all this. My translation reads, if you have my Bible, it says that time itself was framed like a picture in a picture frame. That time itself was framed by the command of God. God said, tick, 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 tick. I believe it. How about you? Even time itself. And by faith, you shout out with all of these guys here, I believe God. That's where I stand. How about you? Great faith moves God. It moves God. My clock is not an accident. It's not an accident. Faith, you either have it or you don't. Those who don't far outnumber those of us who do. Faith. Okay, the Apostle Paul declares, pray for us, brethren, so that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not everyone has faith. 2 Thessalonians 3:2. Church, that's the reason for all of the evil you see out here in the world today. People don't have faith. Now, God's given you plenty of evidence. His invisible attributes are clearly seen, the Bible says, being understood by the things that are made. Again, David said in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night under night reveals knowledge. I love what God said to Job about creation. Listen to what God said to Job. It said, the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man, or we could put your big boy pants on and take off that lobster bib that you got on and let's talk a little bit. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? He said, tell me if you've got understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Who laid its cornerstone when all the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Who shut the sea? Who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it and I set bars and doors? When I said, this far you can go and no further. Here your proud waves must stop. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? That's Job. Job, the last three chapters, 38 through 41. I encourage you guys to read that. But my question is, where do you stand? Who do you believe? Now, starting in verse 4, the writer of this letter is going to show us some of the members in God's hall of faith. I mean, the evolution debate should be 120 seconds long, right? I mean, I see these shows before on TV, the Chem Ham and arguing with Bill Nye, and there's like hours and hours and hours and hours, and that's not the question. The question is, do you believe God or not? It's the question. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And it's like Jesus reading in the temple, right? It said, and then he closed the book and he sat down. Right? End of sentence. Who do you believe? The Discovery Channel? Or do you believe God? Those are your two options. Now, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which, that would be his offering, through which He obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away, or translated, the King James has, by faith, Enoch was translated, so that he did not see death. And he was not found because God translated him. For before he was translated, he had this testimony that he pleased God. All right, starting with these two, Abel. Abel was one of Adam and Eve's first two children. Abel believed God. He was a man of faith, unlike his brother Cain, who ended up killing him. Notice that Abel got saved the same way Abraham did and the same way that you do. The Bible says Abraham believed God, and his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Abel was called righteous here because he believed God as well. It was his faith that inspired God, even in an Old Testament saint, to slam down his gavel and declare you not guilty. It's faith. Enoch, second person here, one of my all-time favorites, Enoch. The Bible says Enoch was taken away or translated so that he did not see death. Translated is the Greek word metatithemi, meaning to be transported from one place to another. I know you guys are waiting for me to say it, aren't you? Beam me up, Scotty. I mean, that's what it means. That's what it means. It's not me. By faith, God beamed up Enoch so that he never died. I say to that, count me in. How about you? How about you? But don't laugh too hard at that, because that's exactly what's going to happen to the blessed generation. Am I allowed to call them lucky generation? Or is it too unchristian for me to use that word, luck? I'd like to be lucky enough to skip out on dying. How about you? All right, blessed. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Then he asked the question, and I ask it to you on this 23rd day of June, year of our Lord, 2025. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, this is Lazarus' sister. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. It's great faith like this that gets you as well into God's hall of faith. And without it, we'll keep reading, verse 6. Without it, that is without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God, he must believe. Look at what it says there. He who comes to God must believe. He must believe that he is. Notice there's no word after is, just a comma. You don't even have to add anything after that. He who comes to God must believe that he is. I love what God said to Moses back in the Greek Septuagint. When he said, what's your name? He said to him, ego eimi ho on. That is, I am the being. Do you believe that? He who comes to God, he must believe that he is. And if you can believe that, church, look out, world. Look out, world, if you believe that. Do you believe that he is? Do you believe that when you call out to him, then your enemies will scatter? Do you believe? Do you believe the generation that's going to be alive when he comes back and looking on the news, that grows? Well, Paul said, now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The generation that's going to be alive when his returns, these kids that come here, Sue's grandkids that are going to be here in a couple weeks. Man, oh man, I believe this is going to be the terminal generation. I'm just examining the evidence. All those who live and believe in me, he said, will never die. Next up in his God's hall of faith, Noah. Noah. By faith, Noah, Catch the words divine and godly, divine and godly. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. And he prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and he became an heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. According to faith. So what? An heir of money? An heir to fame? An heir of real estate? No. He became an heir of righteousness. Remember what it means. Remember? God's got a big old gavel. Down goes the gavel. Out goes your name. And he says, not guilty. I've got amnesia with your sins. Come. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Righteous. Now, I did the math here today. Genesis chapter 5, verse 32, as Abraham was 500 years old when his kids were born. When he walked out of the ark, he was 600 years old when the floodwaters came. Man, oh man, 100 years, 80, 90 years, 75 years to build this ark. Can you imagine that? All of the ridicule. God told him to build an ark because the flood was coming and it had never rained on the earth before. All there was a mist, we read in Genesis, a mist that watered the land. There was no rain, and God told him to build an ark 180 feet long and it never rained. Now, Noah believed God at his word. And he did what God said, not understanding it. And so many times that's what he calls us to. He's not calling you to understand. He's calling you to trust him and believe him at his word. That's all that's required of you. Believe God at his word. Simple, right? Believe God at his word. Look, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. When I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. Or I could say to Iran this morning, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Or just keep a watchful eye on what's going on over there. God's large and in charge, though. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. He said, I'll get to this next week, yet once more I'll shake not only the heavens but the earth, so that what may not be shaken may remain. It's like this earth is like a snow globe and God's shaking it.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.